lifetime. We never, never thought this would happen. And it has. And it's a very emotional time.
It's just an amazing day. I mean, just, it's so historic.
It's absolutely vital to our family and to protect each other for the rest of our lives.
By the power vested in me, by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts,
welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Cherokee lesbians apply for a tribal wedding, queer speech is attacked in Yemen and Taiwan, and reverberations abound as Massachusetts marriages make U.S. history. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Dean Elzinga.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 22, 2004. The United States' first civil marriages of gay and lesbian couples were performed this week in Massachusetts, thanks to a split decision by the state's highest court 6 months ago. More than 1,000 same-gender couples obtained their marriage licenses on the first day they could, May 17. The licensing began in Cambridge, where the city had decided to open its office at 1 minute past midnight, and Marsha Hams and Susan Shepherd ensured they were first in line by spending a full 24 hours outside the door. There were crowds and celebrations outside city halls around the state. Most of the couples had to wait another 3 days before their marriages became official, but some went before judges for waivers of the standard waiting period.
Among those were plaintiff couples in the lawsuit that won marriage equality, including the couple whose name it's known by, Hillary and Julie Goodridge. They'd already waited 3 years since their application for a marriage license was first rejected to set the lawsuit in motion. They married at a Unitarian Universalist church in Boston with their daughter Annie as flower girl and ring bearer. Sitting in the front row was the lead attorney in the Goodridge lawsuit, Mary Bonauto of Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, who also led the similar lawsuit that resulted in Vermont's pioneering civil unions. And she caught their bouquet.
Opponents of marriage equality for same-gender couples chose not to stage protest demonstrations at licensing sites, so the celebrations were unmarred for couples and their allies. But that's in no way a signal that the struggle is over. In many ways, it's just begun. Massachusetts' own governor, Republican Mitt Romney, is determined, as he has put it, to avoid exporting marriage confusion to the other U.S. states. He's relied heavily on a Massachusetts law passed in 1913 that stops marriages of non-residents that would not be recognized in their home states. This week, the Massachusetts State Senate voted 28-3 to repeal that law. But Massachusetts Speaker of the House, Thomas Finneran, wants to keep it off the floor of his chamber, ostensibly so as not to interfere with work on the state budget, and the governor has promised to veto repeal should it reach his desk.
Republican U.S. President George W. Bush issued a statement on May 17th saying, "The sacred institution of marriage should not be redefined by a few activist judges. All Americans have a right to be heard in this debate. I called on the Congress to pass and to send to the states for ratification an amendment to our Constitution defining and protecting marriage as a union of a man and a woman as husband and wife. The need for that amendment is still urgent, and I repeat that call today."
Proposed amendments to state constitutions against legal standing for gay and lesbian marriages continue to advance. This week in Louisiana, both the House and Senate gave overwhelming approval to slightly different proposed amendments, while Tennessee's Senate followed the House in approving one with only a single dissenting vote. Such measures are still in process in several other states and are already approved to go on statewide ballots in Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, and Utah.
Massachusetts wasn't the only place in the U.S. to license a lesbian marriage this week. One couple obtained the equivalent document from the Cherokee Nation, within the geographic borders of the conservative state of Oklahoma. The women are Cherokees themselves, and it seems tribal marriage law does not specify gender. The Cherokee Nation procedure is to obtain a marriage application, as they did, and then file it with the tribe with the signature of the person conducting the wedding ceremony, which in their case has yet to occur. The tribal chief justice issued an immediate moratorium on issuing more marriage applications while officials scramble to determine if gay and non-lesbian couples can legitimately obtain them, and whether the lesbians in question are considered married already or only after certification of their application. Should the couple, who wish to remain anonymous and private, succeed in winning legal recognition from the Cherokee Nation, the question will move on to Oklahoma. While state and federal law currently allow Oklahoma to ignore Massachusetts marriages, many believe that the Cherokee status as a sovereign nation will force it to recognize a tribal marriage.
Of course, three Canadian provinces have been legally marrying same-gender couples for nearly a year now, and this week Canada's government confirmed that it's recognizing those marriages for purposes of immigration. So far, the expedited processing of applications applies only to foreign spouses of gay and lesbian Canadian citizens or permanent residents who marry in the Canadian provinces of British Columbia, Ontario, or Quebec. Those marriages were legitimated by court rulings similar to the one in Massachusetts. The Canadian Parliament is still months away from enacting a federal law to open marriage to same-gender couples.
The Slovakian Parliament voted this week to adopt a broad anti-discrimination bill that includes sexual orientation among its protected categories, CTK reported. The protections for gays and lesbians had been a matter of contention within the governing coalition for months, with the dominant KDH, the Christian Democrats, seeking to remove them. But their junior partner, SMK, the Hungarian coalition party, won the internal debate. When the bill finally reached the floor, it won support from most of the deputies of the ruling parties and even from some of the KSS communist opposition for a triumphant 80% victory. SMK Deputy Premier for Ethnic Minorities, Paul Csaky, declared, "From this very moment, Slovakia is ready to fulfill all obligations ensuing from its European Union membership in the fight against discrimination. The new Slovak anti-discrimination bill has a real chance to become a pattern also for other EU member states."
Free speech took a blow in Yemen this week with the conviction of three journalists just for writing about homosexuality. More than a year ago, the magazine Al-Uzbu, The Week, published their interviews with gay inmates and reporting of lesbian activities in girls' schools. The Yemeni Information Ministry filed a complaint, and this week a court found that the material violated the Islam-dominated nation's morals and customs. The magazine's former editor-in-chief was sentenced to 3 months incarceration and its two former reporters to 5 months each. The court also prohibited the three men from writing during those terms. Those sentences have been suspended, but all three are appealing the ruling. The National Press Union has called on Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh to intervene to annul the sentences.
Censorship hit the airwaves in Taiwan as the Government Information Office slapped a substantial fine on the island's only radio station devoted to women's issues. Les Talk, a regular feature on sister radio, is Taiwan's only radio show considering lesbian issues. But one two-minute segment on Valentine's Day has been deemed to have adversely affected good social customs. That night host, Wei Wei, played with vocal sounds women make during sex, comparing them between countries by imitating film performances. Sister Radio believes their punishment represents a double standard, since no similar action was taken against Meg Ryan's faked orgasmic sounds in the film When Harry Met Sally. However, the government did back off from its original warning against the rest of Wei Wei's Valentine's show, which detailed how lesbians can use traditional condoms for safer sex. Sister Radio is standing behind Les Talk and refusing to censor future shows, even though government warnings endanger its future licensing.
Gloria Anzaldúa, the United States' first openly lesbian Chicana writer, died this week at 61 from diabetes complications. The pioneering feminist cultural theorist wrote essays, short stories, poetry, and even children's books, as well as editing anthologies, but is best known for two books, This Bridge Called My Back and Borderlands La Frontera. Her many honors from both the mainstream and from her communities included the American Studies Association Lifetime Achievement Award and the National Endowment for the Arts Fiction Award.
This year's Olympic Games in Athens could be the first to include an openly transsexual competitor. This week, the executive board of the International Olympics Committee finally approved a new set of regulations opening eligibility to those athletes if they've undergone sex reassignment surgery and at least 2 years of postoperative hormone treatment, and if their self-identified gender has been legally recognized. Those born intersexed who underwent genital surgery before puberty are also eligible. Although the IOC vote had been delayed from its originally scheduled date in February, it comes in time for athletes to qualify for Athens. The new rules are a great step forward for the IOC, which only ended more than three decades of embarrassing gender verification tests for the 2000 Olympics in Sydney.
And finally, openly lesbian comic Ellen DeGeneres is definitely back on top. She's had quite a roller coaster ride since both she and the ABC sitcom lead character she played came out in 1997 in a pioneering first for U.S. television that made headlines around the world. That coming out episode won her a share of a Primetime Emmy Award for writing. But the show itself was canceled the following season, and her next sitcom on CBS didn't last long. She was back on the Primetime Emmy stage as host of the award show in 2001, winning widespread admiration for her handling of that event in the wake of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. But it's only this past year that she seems to have found solid ground in her career once more, with an increasingly popular daytime talk show distributed by NBC. This week, with Kisses for Her Girlfriend and ever-supportive Mother Betty, she ascended an Emmy stage once more as, in its very first season, facing legions of competitors, The Ellen DeGeneres Show won the Daytime Award for Best Talk Show.
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 22, 2004, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Dean Elzinga.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres, and you're listening to This Way Out, the Gay and Lesbian International News Magazine.
Thank you.
That was without cue cards, people.
Lisa?
Yeah, babe?
Will you marry me?
Oh, honey, well, can we?
Oh, well, yeah, it's legal in San Francisco.
Is that so?
That's right. The judges there, they said, gay marriage is fine.
Whoa, someone get the license.
That's right.
We're gonna stand in line.
Today's the day. I'll make you mine, and we'll never be lonely anymore. Because we're going to the courthouse, and we're gonna get married. Going to San Francisco, and we're gonna get married.
Oh, wait a minute. San Francisco is a no-go.
No more marriage licenses in San Francisco. But, you know, there must be some place we can get married. This is America, after all.
That's right. Going to Portland, Oregon, and we're gonna get married. Though we're the same gender, they say it's okay to marry. And
uh-oh.
What's up, babe?
Portland's out, too. Apparently for us, marriage was available for a limited time only.
Spring is here, but we're so blue. The birds don't sing. It's as if they knew. Today's the day. Our plans fell through. They won't let us get married.
Hold on.
You mean the wedding's
back on?
Pack your
bags, baby.
The courts have spoken. It's a sign from God.
Hallelujah.
We'll be a married couple. Not one that's on.
Hey, speak for yourself.
We'll say I do. And then we'll tour Cape Cod, and we'll never be lonely anymore. Because we're going to the courthouse, and we're gonna get married. Going to Massachusetts, and we're gonna get married. Here in Massachusetts, they say it's okay to marry. Going to Massachusetts for love.
Janice Lieber's Going to Massachusetts for Love could already be outdated if Governor Mitt Romney and the 1913 state law he's pushing prevail. That statute, which targeted interracial marriages in its day, prohibits non-resident couples from marrying if those unions would not be legally recognized in their home states. Political and legal wrangling over the law's enforcement and its constitutionality continues. But more than 1,000 resident Massachusetts same-gender couples did get their marriage licenses on May 17, 2004, the first day it became legal to do so in the Commonwealth. Cambridge jumped to be the first in the state to issue licenses to gay and lesbian couples at the stroke of midnight. They began lining up a full 24 hours before the doors of City Hall would open, excited, anxious, like the scene outside a rock concert venue, complete with a giant wedding cake. Their anticipation was shared by both queer and straight but not narrow supporters.
It's just an amazing day. I mean, just it's so historic, and to be here with so many other couples who have waited so long. I mean, the number of years of commitment that are probably standing here is pretty incredible.
The couple ahead of us is here 15 years. The couple behind us is here for 22 years. We're at 13 years. We're still feeling young, believe it or not. It's hard to imagine.
My name is Magali.
And this is Maria.
Rojas Roman, and we've been together almost 10 years.
I'm just really excited and just so happy that there's a lot of people here and support, and it's really cool.
Even though I know there's a lot of people that don't want this to happen, overwhelming sense of just support and feeling the love, I guess. It really feels really great. We help build communities just like any other family, just like any other couple.
In our lifetime, we never thought this would happen. And it has, and it's a very emotional time. We considered civil union, but we knew that that was not equal in its rights. Marriage is important because there's 312 different rights that we would not have had otherwise. Marriage is important because it's a way to celebrate our union in front of all of our family and friends.
We live a couple blocks away, and this is a historic moment, and we just kind of wanted to see what it was all about, and kind of regret it if I, you know, missed it living so close by, and I just, you know, kind of wanted to be a part of all this.
Yeah, and I know for me, I mean, in addition to all of that, like, I really do support what's going on here. For me, I'm all for it. Like, I've never understood personally why it was so much of an issue more than anything. Like, I've always thought it was, I don't know, a stupid issue in the first place, and I'm just glad that they finally can do it.
Later that day in Boston, what is usually routine became historic as dozens of lesbian and gay couples filed for marriage licenses at the same City Hall Registry Division that issues parking stickers and tax forms. They emerged two by two, waving their validated license forms to a cheering crowd.
I'm Deb Putnam, and I'm 41, and we've been together 16 years. I think everyone's really enjoying the moment. One thing I really like about this is that everyone's doing it a little differently. Some people are getting married like today. Other people are waiting to get the license. Other people, we're getting the license today, but we're getting married in June. Everyone's doing it a little differently, which is really nice. I really feel like all the opponents are going to kind of die off over the next year and a half. I think they're going to realize that the sky is not going to fall. Life's going to go on. Straight people will still get married. You know, life will, you know, keep going the way it always has been.
I'm Mark Leo. I'm Charles Fuller. We've been together 22 years.
We live in Jamaica Plain.
The whole time to be a blushing bride and groom passed, you know, 20 years ago for us. Anyway, so this is really about sort of protections for our family. And the reality is that social justice movements always come with a certain level of backlash. Instead, it really seems to release people, the best in human beings and the worst. And so we're prepared for it.
Among the happy brides and grooms filing at Boston City Hall were three of the seven plaintiff couples whose lawsuit led to the first legal same-gender marriages in the United States. They were welcomed by Mayor Thomas Menino, and each couple, Rob Compton and David Wilson, Julie and Hillary Goodridge, and Mike Horgan and Ed Malmelli, briefly spoke to the media. Attorney Mary Bonato of Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, the group that successfully argued the Goodridge lawsuit before the state's Supreme Judicial Court, also fielded questions.
Once again, we've broken down a barrier in the city of Boston, the state of Massachusetts, and that's what this is all about, is giving people the right to marry. I'm so proud of these individuals today that come forward and really express themselves. They want to be bonded together for the rest of their lives. And, you know, as mayor, I don't have the opportunity to choose. I want to be a mayor who represents all of Boston. I can't choose the issues. I'm mayor of everyone here. We're not going to discriminate against anyone who comes into our city. And that's so important to me as mayor. And I want to long overdue. It's time to get on with it. And now these three couples will go up to the courts and get their certificates. They'll be married today. And I've never seen three happy couples.
Well, this is pretty overwhelming today. It's been a three-year battle. And as we approach this window, I was thinking, we've been here once before. Hopefully this time they're going to give it to us. And it was such a great feeling. And we want to just thank certainly all of the other couples that have worked with us. We want to thank GLAAD, certainly Mary Bonato, and thank our community who has been so supportive, and all of our allies. We just want to thank everyone for helping us get to this point.
Yeah, I think the only thing I really want to say is it feels good to have our family welcomed in the community of Boston and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It's nice to be accepted and recognized.
Do you feel like we've been different? Yeah. The three couples are sort of married to each other for the different life.
I'm pretty sure I'm marrying Hillary. That's the person I've wanted to marry for 17 years, and we're going to do it today. And next to the birth of our daughter, Annie, this is the happiest day of our lives.
It's exhilarating. It's absolutely thrilling, and we are so grateful. We're so grateful to our attorney, Mary, and everyone at GLAAD, and certainly to the mayor for his hospitality today. It's overwhelming. I'm so happy.
Really, this in your lifetime?
Yes. Yeah. We wouldn't have done it if we hadn't, you know, thought that it was a possibility.
What do you say to the folks who feel like this is wrong and this shouldn't happen? What's your message to them today?
Come on over to our house for dinner and find out how, you know, normal and loving and boring we are.
What will it make to you?
Well, I mean, it makes a lot of legal difference to us now. Well, at 2:00 today, we will become next of kin. And we've never had a legal relationship to each other, even though we've had wills and powers of attorney and healthcare proxies and that sort of thing. And it's absolutely vital to our family and to protect each other for the rest of our lives.
It's just completely overwhelming. It's a wonderful day. It's been a long time coming. We were here 3 years ago. We didn't have quite the attention that we have here today, but. It's quite a different response, and we are very happy for it. We were very confident. We had a very competent legal crew. We want to thank Mary Bonato, who's been completely wonderful through all of this. Early on, we didn't think that this would come out as quickly as we did, but we're very grateful.
Hi, I'm Mary Bonato. I'm an attorney at Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders here in Boston, and we had the great privilege of representing these three couples and four other couples throughout the Commonwealth, and today is a very happy day for all of us. It is an historic day. I really believe what many judges have said before, which is that the story of our country and the history of our country really is the process of extending constitutional rights to people who have previously been ignored or excluded, and as of today, the government may no longer deny marriage rights to these committed couples who, in some cases, have been waiting for decades to take legal responsibility for one another. That's something that we think is great for these families and great for the community as a whole. With respect to folks from out of state and the governor's present overbroad position about this 1913 law, we know without a doubt the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court said it's wrong, it's unconstitutional to deny marriage rights to gay and lesbian couples. You can't resurrect that 1913 law to do the same thing. So there's certainly some unfinished battles ahead, but we will get there.
Next door to the State House, where the decision that bears their name was handed down, Julie and Hillary Goodridge were married at the Unitarian Universalist Association headquarters that afternoon. Together for 17 years and with 8-year-old daughter Annie as flower girl ringbearer, the pair practically ran down the aisle while jubilant witnesses serenaded them with updated lyrics to a familiar tune.
Here come the brides, so gay with pride, blissful, triumphant, and tanned by plague lights, lovely to see,
legally free, finally hitched by a 4-3 decree. Here come the brides, so gay with pride. Isn't it wondrous they somehow survive?
Legal same-gender marriages may now seem unusual, but wedding jitters are universal. Julie and Hillary nearly omitted the Reverend William G. Sinkford's all-important pronouncement when the couple forgot the appropriate kissing order.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
I will love and respect you through all the changes of our lives.
I will love and respect you through all the changes of our lives.
Forever giving thanks that we found each other.
Forever giving thanks that we found each other.
Till death do we part.
Till death do we part.
We weren't supposed to kiss you.
They couldn't wait. Annie, would you bring the rings forward?
I forgot.
You forgot this part.
We practiced the kiss part.
Okay. Thank you,
sweetie.
I guess that's why you have a rehearsal. You got it.
Okay. These rings are unbroken circles, and they symbolize in some way the circle of love in which you have chosen to live for the rest of your days. You may exchange the rings.
All right.
And say,
with this ring, I thee wed. Okay. With this ring, I thee wed. A little sweaty.
Yeah.
And now, inasmuch as you have testified to your ongoing love and commitment by the saying of vows and by the giving and receiving of rings, by the power vested in me by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I now pronounce you fully and legally married.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Dean Elzinga, Graham Underhill Fensbury, Rex Wagner, and J.D. Doyle contributed program material. Thanks also to the Human Rights Campaign for their multimedia web coverage of Massachusetts matrimony. Janice Lieber and the Chantels performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by grants from Clarissa Pinkola Estes, La Sociedad de Guadalupe Foundation, and the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. You too can help keep this program on the air and get some queer audio history, music, and culture CDs in return. For all the details, log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 2TLC Yamba, New South Wales, WPSU University Park, Pennsylvania, KKFI Kansas City, Missouri, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Make a vow to stay tuned.